Ramban Bereshis Shir, October 13th.
Okay, so the Ramban, he took issue with what Rashi said, that Bereshis, or Elokim, that Bereshis is Nimshach to the words following it. And what it actually means is Bereshis, in the beginning, in other words, Bereshis Dovor, word by itself, the Bor Elokim and Sashemaimus Oris. And Ramban explained so far that the word Boru means that he created from nothing. In other words, brought into the Briya the first Metzius. Till now there was nothing at all. And Hashem Yisbor created Shamayim and Oretz. What does Shamayim and Oretz mean? So the Ramban says it means a Yisoid that's Dak Miyoid, ain't by Mamish. Something that takes up no space, but it's there. But it has the Koyach Mamsi, which means it has the potential to produce things which do take up space, which do have like three dimensions, three things which could be measured, could exist. And that's the koich that he created, two koiches, right? One called Shamayim and one called Oretz. We'll see in one moment. And those are the two things which are called Boro, that he made the Yeshmeyayin. And he said that the Yevonim, the Greeks, had a word for it. The word is called Hiyuli. And the Hiyuli is the only thing that was created that the word Bora could be used, because Bora means it produced Yesh Me'ayin. And this had Yesh, but it didn't take up any space. Acher Hiyuli, the last line in the third paragraph, Lo Bora Dovor, there was nothing to which the word Bora could be applied. Aval Yotzer, also, right? Also means he took the potential existence called Shemayim and Oretz and made from it things, like it says in Pasuk, Vayas Elokim Sarakia, right? Or Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Sa'odom, Ofer Min Ha'adoma, like it says about the Oretz, Toitse Ha'oretz, Nefesh Chayomino. Okay, and so on and so forth. Kimimenu, because from this essence called Iuli, called Shamayim, called Oris, Himti Hakol. From that he produced everything else, Vihilbish Hatsurais Vatike Noison. And he clothed the Tsuris, means he gave them shape, form, and so on. He produced matter. That's where we're up to. Vida. Shamayim v'choloshev bohem choymer echot. Shamayim, everything that there is, meaning all the stars and all the galaxies and everything, that's one choymer. Oretz v'choloshev bo, the land that we're in, is choymer echot, another choymer, another material. The word choymer means material, but material is something from which other things are formed. That's why in the ancients and the early Kadmoinim, they used the word very frequently, Choymer and Tzura. Choymer, material, and Tzura means the shape and the form which is made from the Choymer. It's as if, in a very elementary sense, you have a pile of clay and you mold it, and with a little bit of artistry and delicate handling, soon you could have all kinds of different shapes and forms coming from this Choymer. So in the beginning, all there was the material, and afterwards there was the Tzura, meaning the various shapes. Of course, I said this is very elementary, because we're dealing with, let's give it a different name. Let's say instead of clay, we call it atoms, right? And today, of course, the world of atoms is broken down into more elementary particles, so on. If everybody's familiar with the things that are spoken about today, the protons and the neutrons and the electrons, right? And the other stuff that's smaller than that. And the neutrinos and so on, etc., etc., etc. Yeah, and there's things that are still more elementary. But these are the chomer from which everything else is. V'daki ha-shamayim v'chol ha-shebehem chomer echad. It's one material which is called shamayim. Ha-ores v'chol ha-shebo is chomer echad. Okay. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, boru eilu shneihem me'ayin. These are made from nothing. V'shneihem levadom, these two alone, nivroyim, to them applies the word nivroyim, v'hakol nasim me'ayin. Okay. V'choymer hazeh, shekroi hiyuli, that we call shekoru, the world calls it hiyuli, nikro b'loshon HaKadosh toyhu. What does the word toyhu mean? Hamila toyhu nigzer mil shoinim. We find it in Chazal. V'toyhe al horishoinis, when you're shocked. Right? For instance, let's say there's someone who did mitzvahs his whole life. And then he goes, like we say in our common language, off the derech, and he starts doing aveiros. And he not only gives up the mitzvahs that he did, but he's angry and he's shocked at the mitzvahs that he ever did. So he sort of does tshuva on the mitzvahs, do you understand? Just like this tshuva on aveiros, which gives you the tremendous gift of being forgiven and having the aveiros erased from your record. So too, there's such a thing as tshuva on mitzvahs, which Chas v'Shalom, if a person does, he could eliminate all the mitzvahs that he ever did. But it's not that he does an aveira that eliminates the mitzvah. Of course, that never happens. The mitzvah remains lo avod. But if he has tshuva, he says, "I'm sorry, and I regret that I ever did the mitzvah, and I'm throwing away this whole, you know, way of life." So he's toil hirshonus. He's shocked at what he did. Why is the word toyeh used? And that has nothing to do with tshuvan and aveiros on mitzvahs. That's the way it's used in Chazal. Do you understand the quote that Ramban is making? He says, the reason it's called toyhu, because if you try to figure out a name, you can't. There's no way of defining it. So you stand in shock. What do I call it, right? What name, what identity could I possibly give it, since it has no identity? Anything that we know has to have some identity. It has to have some space. It has to be related to some form of time. It has to have something that could be measured, that could be expressed. This has in it nothing more than some measureless and limitless potential, and we have no idea of how to deal with it. Kilay lovash tsura, because it has no form at all. It didn't close itself in any form. Sheitofis po Hashem klal, that it could have any identity, any name, and we don't know what name to use. V'hatsura hanubesha v'chaymer hazeh nikreis b'loshon HaKodesh boyhu. Boyhu is the form, the first form that comes from this, the first tzura that comes from this chomer. Where does the word boyhu come from? Hamila murkevis. It's a combination of two words. Boymer, boyhu. There's something in it. It has some content, and it has some identity. Who? Who says that's it? Right? Who? It's the word, identifying word. And boy, who, and it has content. Boy, there's something in it. There's something that could describe it. Okay. Kimilas loisuchal asoihu. You see the word, the way it's used. He's just pointing to the word asoihu for the grammar. Asoihu, to make it. Okay. Shem b'chuser havov ha'alif asoihu. Okay.
So there were two separate parts. For this, one for Shmai and one for ours, like
two. Right. We're going to have that right away. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that a little further on. Now, two essences, one Shemaim and one Oretz. Now, I mentioned it this morning, and I mentioned it last time, that it's actually this concept It's interesting that the scientific world is his holy boy. I mean, it's the essence of everything else that comes from it. Because, as I told you, some of you might have been here this morning, but I spoke briefly about that. There was something that happened about 70 years ago, approximately, a little bit more, that there was an astronomer who was studying at his telescope, measuring for years and years and years, and he saw something that he couldn't explain. That was, they named the big telescope that's flying around in space after him. That was Hubble, and he had the whole universe was expanding. Now, to see how something expands is a concept that, if you're familiar with spectra, the colors that come from the, breaking up of light, this spectral shift, a red shift is a blue shift. When you see something moving away rapidly, that means there's a shift to the direction of red. When you see something moving towards you, there's a shift in the direction of blue. So you could measure the speed at which it's moving. And he sat and measured it, calculated over and over and over again. Now you could in those days how tedious it was. There were no computers and everything. You had to put down and you added it up. Maybe you had a little adding machine, but that's about all. Today we do calculations like that in a fraction of a second. But he kept calculating. And it dawned on him, an impossible thing, that if the universe is expanding, that means that if you go back in time, it was smaller. And go still further back, it was still smaller. And they kept measuring that when you get to a certain point, at a certain time, and I explained this morning that time to us means nothing. Right? Time is relative. There's no absolute value given to time. It's possible. I mean, we could calculate it. We see muons that move through space. They should disappear in a 200th of a second, and they last for 20 minutes. And you could measure this. Why? Because of the speed that it's moving, so it's relative existence. In its world, it's lasting a fraction of a second, but relative to us, it's 20 minutes. You see the shifting measurement of time. Just forget about the element of time, Lagami. When you go back, now let's get back to the calculations, you go back and back and back, and where do you come to? You come to the point where the universe occupies a dot smaller than the smallest, tiniest grain of sand. What they really mean to say is that there is no space, no space at all. It's only energy. There's no matter. No matter, only energy. And from that moment on, and at that moment, you cannot, it violates all mathematical, physical rules. They can't analyze it. Right? Which, it's the most interesting thing. This is precisely what Ramban is speaking about. An essence that contains no identity, no space, no description. But what we know is that there was a moment, and before that moment, there was nothing. So I have to say there's something. So that's Toihu. And Boihu, a fraction of a second, expanded, and it got these properties, these properties, and these properties. But there's still no identifiable, no measurable properties at all. Until, after a certain point, where there was enough of an expansion, and it exhibited the first physical property that's possible for us to identify. And you know what that is? That's light. The first actual physical entity coming from this unidentifiable, minuscule bit of nothing, something nothing, which is Toihu Vavoihu, and the next thing is Oyer. What I'm just showing, I'm talking about things which, in the physical terms, are a little beyond what you're equipped to handle. But as we go further and further, we get back and closer to the Yesoidis that are mentioned in the Torah HaKadosh. There's no escaping it. There's just no alternative. These are things that are calculated over a period of years and years. And every scientist who tried to challenge the calculations came back to the calculations exactly. So the Horitz is Choysa Toyu Vavoyhu. It was something that can't be identified. It's shocking because it has there's no way of identifying and giving description to something that has no space, that occupies no volume. So what is it that we can't conceive of something that has no volume? It's Toyu. And yet, a fraction of a second later, it's almost at the same time. There's Boyu. There's something there. But till that something, now, V'zesh Omer HaKosev, V'noto Oleho, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread over the world Kav Toyu. What does the word Kav mean? Huh? Kav means a line. But Kav also comes from a shorish of a different word, to hope. Right? With Kavois. Kavei El Hashem. Chazak V'yamis L'becha V'kavei El Hashem. To hope. And it says, Ki hu hakav. It's a line, Asher boy Yizcham Ha'umen Machsheves Binyonoi. What does every binyan exist of? In its potential state, when it's in the mind of the designer, when it's nothing more than an idea, what does it consist of? Lines. You understand? You take out your blueprint and you draw lines. You could draw it in different dimensions, but the line represents ideas. And then you give the lines dimensions, height, width, depth, and so, and it becomes an entity. You know, so that's what he says. The word Kav Toihu means the lines of Toihu, and it has both line and hope. it's a fascinating idea. And he says, Ki hu hakav, this is the line Asher bo yitcham ha'umun machsheves binyonoi, which you could put down and describe and draw and measure the idea that you have. And what you hope from the other meaning of the word kav to make from it. Nigzar min kavei el Hashem. V'ho'avonim. What's the part of that pasuk? V'avnei boihu. What are avonim? Avonim, stones. They could mean a million different things. It's all kinds of stones. What it means is solid material. That's what a stone is. Right? You could have a stone that's a diamond. You have a stone that's a rough piece of silicon and anything, a million things in between. But the idea of a stone as opposed to what existed before the stone is that the stone has width, breadth, depth, it has three dimensions and it occupies space, and it's a something as opposed to being a nothing. Okay? V'avonim heim tzureis binyan, and you have the form of the building. Ken kosev, me efes v'soihu nechshavu loy. To Hashem Yisborach, all the world, the galaxies, the sky, the stars, everything. It's as if they're Ephes, nothing, and Toyu. Ki ha Toyu acher ho Ephes. Right? Ephes vo Soyu. What does Ephes mean? Zero. Toyu means there's something there, and yet you can't possibly use any words in any language that we could possibly devise which could describe it, because it occupies no space, and all we could do is describe the potential that it has, not describe its existence. Hatoyu acher ho'efes, that comes after nothingness. V'nenu dovor, it's not a something. V'kach omru b'sefer yitzira. Yotzar metoyu mamish. Right? V'oso einoi yeshnoi. So brief and so perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made from the Toihu a mamish, a something that changed, but also einoy, and he took something that isn't and he made it yeshnoy, something that is. Okay? It's fascinating to see how, you know, in the Lashon of Chazal, in the Kadmonim, they packed like volumes of thought into single words. V'oid omru b'medr shemachuni b'nakona, that's the Sefer HaBoh here, omru b'rechya, ma'idechsiv v'horez hoiso soyo v'voy, what does that mean? My mashma hoiso, why is the word hoiso used? Past tense. Shekvar hoiso toihu, it was toihu, and I said there's no gap, there's no time gap between toihu and voyu. The scientists struggle to define according to their measurements. Not that they understand, but they just end up with calculations which they have no idea what to do with. They come to the calculation which describes something that occupies no volume and it has potential to produce all the galaxies and measureless, limitless amounts of matter and energy. And and a fraction of a second later, there was something there already. Shekvar hoiso toihu. Umay boihu, elo toihu hoiso. It was toihu. It only exists in its potential form. It was, and now it is. From the was to the is takes no stretch of time. Umay toihu dover hamaseh b'nei yodam. It's something that shocks the mind. Right? Because it's impossible for us to utilize anything to describe it only by using, you know, roundabout words and language. The chozer lo boyu, then it became boyu. Umay boyu, what is this boyu? Dover sheyesh boy mamash. That's all. Okay, so the idea is all there in the Sefer HaBoh here, which that's from Chunin ben Akon, who's of course a Tana. Heard the name on sure many times. Now, Dechiv boy, who? Here it is. Bo'omer Elokim, and Chazal tell us what Elokim means, right? What was supposed to be Mechavan in Shulchan Aruch when you say Elokim, Baal HaKoichos Kulam. Right? All the different forms of energy and force, mm-hmm. power, any kind, any shape whatsoever. Ki Hamila Yikra Keil. Elokim, the root of the word Elokim is Keil. And the Hey and the Yud and the Mem are all Oisius Hashimush, right? Which give it plurality and give it a definition. Shehu Koyach, that's power. Behim Milamur Kevis, Elokim, Keil, Elohim. That's just cutting apart the word Elokim and putting it back together again. Ki'ilu El Samuch. Samuch means that it's a word that's attached to another word. V'heim Yirmois L'chol Shar HaKoiches. In other words, the essence of all powers. And that's what Chazal tells us. This is the way it appears in Shulchan Aruch. That when you say Krishna, you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. What is the word Elokeinu? Baal HaKoiches Kulam. Okay? Koimer, Koyach HaKoiches Kulam. V'oid Yizbor Soid Buzer. And he's going to explain that all now. Now, just let's take the next paragraph and we'll finish right now. Im Kain, Yeh Pshat HaKsuv Malnoche. Mashmo Usoi. Now, let's get to the essence. Part of the Pshat. V'tchile Bor Elokimus HaShemayim. Ki Hoitzi Choymer Shalohem Meyayin. There was this essence called Shemayim. At the point where it was called Shemayim and it was nothing more than an essence, it defies description because it occupies, like I said, no space, no properties, nothing that we could use to define. Ve'ez Oretz, same thing with Oretz. Sha'itzi ha'chaymer shalah me'ayin. Ve'oretz, the word Oretz, tichlel, that includes arba yisoydes kulam. Right? So there are four forms of the essence of matter. They're called the four yesoides. We'll get to that in a minute. But right now, let's go just see these two lines. Kimoi, vayichulu, hashamayim v'oretz v'chol savor. The word vayichulu, what does the word vayichulu mean? They were complete. Everything was already in there. She'tichloil, kol hakadar hatachtoi. The word Vayichulu means what we had now, included all the lower sphere, right? That's the world, the earth that we're talking about, which we live in, is a sphere. If anybody ever learned or heard, as I said, that the old days, and before Columbus, they thought the world was flat. They're referring to people who had no knowledge, who lacked any training. You could see that the world is spherical with your own eyes. If you ever watched a lunar eclipse, and they come about 3 times in 2 years, and you watch a lunar eclipse, what do you see? You see the shadow of the Earth moving across the moon. And it darkens the moon. There's no light in the moon when the Earth moves across the moon. And ever see that shadow? The shadow is round. Perfectly circular curve. Right? But it can't be a disc. It can't be a cylinder. It can't be something that's circular other than a sphere. Right? Aristotle pointed out many years ago that whenever the lunar eclipse happens, whether it's in the beginning of the night, in the middle, at the end of the night, or whenever you see it, even if the full moon is there in the daytime and the lunar eclipse happens then, right? So what? It's always just as circular. And if it's always just as circular, what does that show? It's a sphere. It's not anything other than a sphere. It was a disc. You hold a disc this way, it was a line, right? You take a cylinder and hold it in a certain way, it would be a rectangle. The only thing that's always circular is a sphere. Understand? So you could see with your eyes that the world is spherical. It doesn't take much of a mind to notice that, to see it. It's not like you have to have a spaceship somewhere out there to watch the world from a distance. And that's the kadur hatachto in the lower ball. Okay, v'chein halu as Hashem in the oris. And there it goes into a whole long list of things as min ha'oris, which things come from the earth. Okay, tadinim v'chol tohoimois, and there's a whole long list of the halukos, and it describes these everything that there is in this kadur that we're so familiar with, and that's the oris. But at the time of the Bria, the oris was just that primeval dot, that essence, which is the hiyuli, which is the toihu, which has nothing more than potential in it, and boihu, it has essence, and from there it goes to all the things that Hashem Yisburach made from it, which are the articles of the Bria that are described in my Sipur. It's good? That's all.